You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, your locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. Pleasure to have you on this Thursday, November 21st, 2019 to be exact. Now, we had some weather in the local region, which kind of pushed this episode back. Usually we do our Sunday night Twitter question answer on Tuesdays. We had to push it back to Thursday because of snow in Southern California, which was a pleasant surprise for some. For others, they're blocking the roadways and it's tough driving without a four-wheel drive, but needless to say, we have an episode coming your way today. If you want to be a part of the show, you've got to make sure you follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward, where I'll send out that tweet about 9 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday night saying, send me any and all your baseball questions, something along the lines of that. I'll answer them on Twitter through midnight, and then the best ones will make the show on Tuesday, or in this case, Thursday. So you want to be a part of the show, make sure you're following us on Twitter. Also, feel free to download or subscribe to Locked On Angels or any of the Locked On podcasts via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else that you can find podcasting. As we get to your questions, I'm going to lead off with some miscellaneous here. I do want to start with a NASCAR one. For those of you that are new, I am a huge NASCAR fan. I come from a racing family. My father was a racer. I was a race car driver. We all had fun with this. So I want to start with this one from Awatucky Takaria at Rex Coot, great photographer in the Arizona region. Says, Martin Truex Jr. pit crew gaffe, putting the tires on the wrong side of the championship race when leading comfortably, the baseball analogy would be ... Now, if you're unfamiliar with this, yes, when you hear tires are put on the wrong side, you think, well, it doesn't really matter. There's four tires. The air pressure, all kinds of adjustments go around these tires, so it was a huge problem. Martin Truex Jr. was in the championship four, had a monumental lead, and they put when he came in for a pit stop, they put the tires on the wrong side. That is just so idiotic, and it's not Martin's fault. It's the crew's fault. So I've got to say, you know, a baseball analogy to this, and it lost them the championship. So I said something about, like, having a perfect game and then walking four straight batters and lose the game 1-0 kind of thing. But I think that Rex had a good one. He said something about going up 2-0 in a series or 3-0 in a series and then just monumentally losing on walk-offs and stuff like that. But I'm going to stick with mine. You lose. I'm going to say a perfect game in the World Series and you walk four straight batters and lose 1-0. I think that's kind of my analysis of what this analogy would be. You got to be perfect to win these championships, whether it's any sport. You got to be somewhat perfect. And I'll tell you what, Martin Truex's team really messed him up there. This one here, and it's a little bit miscellaneous, a little bit. It's obviously, this is Locked On Angels, so we're going to be talking Angels here. This one here from Future Angel at MLB underscore Revenge says, what role do you think Taylor Cole plays next season? He ended with a 5.92 ERA, but he also had a 3.29 FIP, and was worth 0.9 F-WAR. Seemed like he was good in stretches, but when he was bad, he was really bad. Now, I was looking through. Taylor Cole did have quite a few. He had a handful of really bad games, but that's what happens when you're a reliever. When you're a reliever and you only have 50 innings or so to kind of really express what your season's going to be like, the ERA kind of flips around on itself. You kind of just look for that consistency, and I think Taylor Cole was very consistent this year. He obviously did have quite a few outings that ended up getting him an ERA near 6, but when it comes to Taylor Cole, I think that now that he's out of options, I think that he is going to be a guy the Angels kind of look to and be kind of a vital piece of the bullpen. I thought he was fantastic through most of the season. I thought that he was very vital for the Angels, and obviously the season didn't go the way that it planned, but I think that next year, seeing what Taylor Cole can bring, you know, you have a little bit of a luxury, a little bit of depth when it comes to relief arms to say, look, Taylor, we're going to give you the chance and it's your time to stick with us. And if that's not the case, then, you know, we're going to have to, you are near the bottom of our 40 man and we might DFA you. So I think that's kind of where Taylor Cole is. Obviously the value kind of matched up, but relievers are so risky. They change and go from season to season. I think Taylor Cole is kind of in that spot. I got to say, personally, I think Taylor Cole was one of the better relievers for the Angels last year, despite the 6 ERA. And I think that he is going to be another guy that is going to be looked to in 2020 to be one of the better relievers once again. Now, I've said this for a while. When it comes to relievers, you know, you say, let's say that a guy throws 50 innings and he threw, you know, 2 innings each time, 25 outings. In one of those outings, if he goes out and allows, you know, 10 runs, but the rest of the year he allows 2 runs, well, you know, his ERA is going to be up there. But at the same time, it's like, you know, are you sitting there saying, oh, yeah, he was bad because he had a bad ERA? No, he had a bad game. So keep an eye on that when you're talking about relievers. And MLB Revenge wasn't saying that, but that's just the case. So remember, relievers ERA, a little bit auspicious. This one here from Derek Lindsay at AngelsFan2756 says, if you were the commissioner, what kind of punishment would you give the Astros? What kind of punishment do you see them getting? Now, this question came in before Rob Manfred made any comments about this. See, personally, I don't think that you can. I don't know how you can punish the Astros. I know that you should and you want to, and what they did was wrong, but you can't wipe the record that they won a World Series. You can't really take that away from them. So I think that if I were commissioner, I would impact their future as opposed to impact what happened in the past and let the record show that the past may have had some concerns. I would say at least 2 first-round draft picks. I would limit their international signing, and I think that would really impact their future. As for anything else, I personally just cannot think of it. I can't think of how you can do this. You can't take away players they developed. You can't take away certain things. I think that there should be some serious suspensions, of course. But at the same time, this is – well, no, and I had to be corrected on this. I said that this was an unwritten rule at one point. It now is a written rule that you cannot use cameras to – assist in this kind of thing and sign stealing. So I think that there's going to be some jobs taken away. I think there's going to be maybe – I don't think there's going to be anyone banned from baseball, but I think the people are going to be losing jobs and be suspended long term. As for what kind of punishment I see them getting, I think it's going to be something along those lines, but I just don't know yet. And, you know, it's a real shame. It's kind of just an oddity that we haven't seen before, and sometimes when those things happen in baseball, we don't really know how to react other than overreact. Now, I'm not saying that anyone's overreacting to steal or cheating here, but all teams cheat. You know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's a term that's used in baseball and all kinds of other sports. But this cheating just kind of excels all other cheating. You think that they're using cameras out in center field to relay signs to the hitters? That is some pretty serious stuff. So. You know, I have my opinions, but I'm not sure they differ from yours or from mine. You know, I don't like it. I just can't think of what a real punishment would be that would really, you know, I can't think of the crime or the punishment isn't going to match the crime, in my opinion. Next question comes from Carlos at AngelsFan04 says, how has Kevin Maiton been looking? You think he has a chance to be a major leaguer? Now, I haven't seen Kevin Maiton in about 13 months. I haven't seen him in person, obviously, in about 13 months. But I have asked around. Obviously, I'm talking to scouts fairly regularly through the season. Scouts are still intrigued by Kevin Maiton. The body has progressed steadily. You know, there was a big concern about how much weight he had put on, how much athleticism he'd lost. There's less concern. He's still a bit of a bigger kid, still young, though, and scouts are still intrigued. There's a lot of bat speed there. There's still a lot of strength present. They believe that he is going to be a major leaguer in time. It's just that they kind of believe more now that he's going to be like a power bench corner infield type, kind of the way that we see – I'm not going to say – you know, think back of Justin Bour – a few years ago, not the Justin Bour we saw in 2019, but kind of guys like that, you know, that corner bat kind of thing and Eric Thames kind of thing. I think that's kind of how most guys view him at this point, which is still a major leaguer. And for, you know, when you sign a kid for $2 million, that's really not a bad deal on a bonus. I don't think people understand how hard it is to develop players and get them to become major leaguers. And I think that this is going to be something that Kevin Maiton is going to be viewed It may take quite some time, but I also think that it's going to be important enough to watch how he does. I do think that a lot of you are going to see him in Southern California next year with the Inland Empire 66ers at some point, whether that's at the start of the year or the end of the year. But I think that that'll be a time when you can go out and see him personally and kind of get an opinion of yourself, which is a great thing to do. Highly recommend going and supporting minor league baseball, which we're going to talk about here in the new or at the end of this segment, which hopefully my frustration stays dim. But definitely go out and support minor league baseball and support these prospects. This one from Chris Chapman at ChapDaddy76 says, would you like to see an automated strike zone or a universal DH? Which, if any of these changes, would make it to MLB first? I said, no, gross. I hate these things. I love the difference between the National League, American League. I love seeing pitchers hit. I think that we should develop pitchers more to become better hitters. I think that's important. I understand the universal DH. That's fine. Automated strike zone, I hate it. I've seen it. Despise it. But I do think that the automated strike zone probably is coming. I think that the universal DH is coming. I think MLB is going to push for both of those things. I hate both of them, but so be it. I like the human error aspect of baseball, which does include pitchers hitting. This one here from Phil at Philip Perales says, hey, Taylor, what are the chances we re-sign Mark Trumbo? I don't think that highly. And then the following question behind this is from Savis Garicola at Angels_Central, says, thoughts on Mark Trumbo potentially becoming a two-way player. This surprised me when the question was asked. I had not read the report that Mark Trumbo was attempting this, which kind of changes my question or my answer to Phil. I still don't think the Angels have interest. I don't think that he's going to be able to do it. And as for potentially becoming a two-way player, I didn't see him when he was a amateur pitching prospect. I've heard reports, but I don't know. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. Those aren't going to match up with what he is now. And at the same time, I've seen him throw from third base. Not something I'm necessarily going to want to see on the mound, especially if I'm in the box. So that's nothing. Mark Trumbo is like the coolest guy. I love him to death. But I don't think that he's going to have much of a career as a pitcher. So those are my opinions. NMBaseball52 says, ask, why haven't the Angels retired any numbers under Artie Moreno's ownership? So in my opinion, and I think a lot of people understand this, is mostly retired numbers go to Hall of Fame caliber players, Hall of Fame players. The Angels have only had one Hall of Famer ever. And when you look up on the retired wall, you see, you know, obviously there's guys that are very important to the organization. Jimmy Reese, Gene Autry, Jim Fregosi. But you also see Nolan Ryan, Rod Carew. I think that number 27 will be retired, but currently there's a young man. His name is Michael Trout, and he wears number 27, so I'm not sure that's going to work out. I would love to see Mike Trout switch his number, though. Do a Kobe Bryant kind of thing or a LeBron James kind of thing. That'd be cool. But in reality, I think that, you know, that's kind of the starting point is – you view the Hall of Fame guys, and that's kind of where you retire your numbers. Obviously, a guy like Tim Salmon, Garrett Anderson, those are guys that you could retire and put up there. 15 is kind of unofficially retired. No one's worn 15 since Tim Salmon. 34, Nick Adenhart has kind of unofficially been retired. I'm sure 45 won't be worn for a long time for Tyler. But I don't, you know, there's no real reason why there hasn't been a number retired. It's not like this is something that they're not allowing. But Artie Moreno also did bring in the Angels Hall of Fame. It's all there in the front there, and they have the yearly tradition of having that. Gosh, why can't I think of it? You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. I'm smiling over at someone here. Yeah, you know. So, you know, I don't think it's anything that Artie Moreno is saying, no, we're not retiring numbers. I don't think it's anything along those lines. I just think that there's only been one guy that's really been worth retiring his number, maybe two. And currently, Mike Trout wears 27, and Vlad Guerrero, I think, is okay with that. So, another one here from Derek Lindsay at AngelsFan2756 says, thoughts on Tony La Russa being brought in? Look, that's 50-something years of experience, and you just don't get that. You can't just bring that into an organization out of nowhere, which the Angels did. Now, Tony La Russa, I'm not the biggest Tony La Russa guy. I'm not a big fan of some of the things he's done in his career. But to bring that experience into the organization, I think, is very vital and very important. So the Angels, I think, got a pretty nice little pickup there. I think it's going to be a nice addition to their front office. And hopefully that experience can also translate into the development of some of these young minor leaguers. This one from Nasty Halos, at Nasty Halos. A few people asked this. Do you think the Angels will get new uniforms? I don't think they will. I think, obviously, they're going to have Nike, and maybe there's going to be small transitions here, but I don't think you're going to see anything drastic. I think you're going to see that standard white and red, the red and white, the away grays, Angels on the front. I think that's kind of what you're going to see here. So, one more before we head to a short break. This one from AJ Street at AJ Street 77 says, thoughts on MLB's proposed changes to minor league baseball in the draft. How likely do you think it is that they will go through? So let's see if I can do this without losing my cool. I'm going to start with the draft. Pushing it back a week or 2 weeks does not bother me. The players aren't going to be sent out to affiliates for at least 2 weeks following, so I'm not really worried about that. It gives the high school kids a little bit of a break that's needed. Give some of the college kids a break. Perfectly fine with moving it to the end of the College World Series. Love that. The first part of that question, though, oh my gosh. I don't know how much I can explain how much I despise this. 42 potential communities that are losing revenue, income. They're losing jobs. They're losing entertainment. They're losing development for people that, sports gives you an understanding of certain things in life. It teaches kids how to win and lose. It teaches kids passion. It teaches kids something to have faith in. And to take that away from 42 communities across the United States and also take away those jobs, that income for middle America, this is pretty ridiculous to me. And I'm pretty pissed off about Rob Manfred and a lot of the things that he's done lately. And I don't understand how this is a positive for baseball or a positive for the economic state of baseball. It's really an upsetting item. And I could go on and on. I probably will at some point go on and on when this becomes a problem, a little bit more of a problem. I do think that this may go through. The question is, how likely do you think it is that this will go through? I think that there's a strong possibility here. I love seeing the cities of Daytona, Jackson, Mississippi going and standing up, these teams standing up for themselves, calling out Major League Baseball. I love that Daytona came out and said, look, you guys embolize what is the number 42. You guys say that you respect Jackie Robinson's legacy, but you're pissing on it right now. I love that Daytona did that, and I'm sorry that I'm starting to – I said I'd try and keep my cool. It's not working out great, is it? This is ridiculous, and Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball should be very upset with themselves. They should look themselves in the mirror and understand that they are wronging baseball. They're not doing their jobs properly, and how can you keep that job if you're not doing it properly? I think that this is going to be a point where a lot of people like myself are going to start calling for Rob Manfred – to make some very drastic changes in himself and his policies towards baseball, and it is beyond frustrating. We got to take a short break here. Before we do that, let's talk about Breaking Tea. Now, Breaking Tea is a t-shirt company that ties in with the passion moments of sports. These passion moments happen with every team and every fan base, and then Breaking Tea jumps on the moment to make t-shirts to make the moment live forever. When these moments happen, we will be joining in with Breaking Tea to make these t-shirts available to you, the listeners, through www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. Once again, that's www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. We'll be back with more Locked On Angels and your questions from our Sunday night Twitter question answer right after a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Warden. We're taking your questions from our Sunday night Twitter question and answer. Now, here in the second segment, we're going to be pretty Angel-specific here. And I'm going to we're going to go over a lot of things that you've kind of heard, kind of not heard. So let's start with this one from Awatucky Kataki or Rex Coot, who led off the show. I guess he's going to lead off both segments here. Says, do you think the Angels will allow Joe Adell to continue with the Olympic team and qualifying in March in Arizona? And should they? So that's something that's going to be answered when the time comes. But I don't see the Angels doing that because they're going to be looking at Joe Adell and kind of want to see him every day in a self-interest to see if he's ready for 2020. In March, you know what's going on in March, right? It's spring training. I think that, maybe they find a way to switch him around, but I just don't see it. And who knows? Maybe he'll be on the 40-man right as soon as that's kind of wrapping up. Should they? I personally, I don't think they should. And that's just obviously he's a valuable piece to the Olympic team. He was probably their most valuable player through that stretch there in Japan and Mexico. But personally, I think that there's bigger fish to fry when it comes to the Angels and having him kind of maneuver around that 40-man. He's got a spot to earn. I think the best way to do that is have him there every day for spring training. This one from Brad at UH Angels fan. Any players that have been posted you see the Angels going after? Now, Brad, I'm assuming – now, Brad's a loyal listener. I'm sure he's going to reach out. And I'm assuming that what Brad means is any players posted from Asia, whether it's Japan, Korea, et cetera. The crop that's coming over this year from Japan and Korea really isn't that exciting. I mean, yeah, there's always excitement about international players and things like this, but there's not really a guy like a Kenta Maeda, a Shohei Ohtani, Masahiro Tanaka. No one really of that. Even there's no one that's really that thrilling. There's great numbers to be put up. Maybe a relief guy, maybe something like this, but I'm not saying the Angels aren't. I haven't heard anything about them going after anyone in the international market here from the Japan or Korea. But for the guys that are being posted, don't expect, you know, a Rookie of the Year candidate to come out of Japan or Korea this year. There's great talent coming down the line from Japan. Obviously, I think that Tetsuya Yamada is one of the best players in the world who is not already in the major leagues. Cannot wait until he is posted. I really hope that he's posted someday. But yeah, kind of a down year coming from Asia. But great question either way, Brad. This one is from JT Wheeler at JohnThad22. Says, if you are dealing for pitching, 2+ years of control, assuming it's costing Marsh, young starting pitcher, and infield depth, do you try to hang on to Fletcher or Renjifo? Now, this is kind of an opinion-based question. This is my opinion. I told JT that my opinion changes daily when it comes to David Fletcher and Luis Renjifo. I look at something, I'm like, oh, yeah, you need him. And then I go, oh, yeah, well, you need him. Between the two of them, I mean, they're such great guys and great players. Very underrated. I think Luis Renjifo has the edge because he's a bit younger, has options, things like this. But David Fletcher, I keep saying it. He keeps coming back, and I was with the scouts. I said, this guy's going to be a great utility guy. You know, he's going to be a great bench piece. Love David Fletcher. He's punching me in the face, man. But he's punching a bunch of people in the face. This guy's a starter. He's an MLB average second baseman. I love David Fletcher. So I can't give you an answer. I really can't give you an honest answer on my opinion on that. The Angels is probably going to differ from mine either way. But, yeah, I love – they're great. So this one here from John Burke at Jeb Wood. Would you make a trade for Matt Boyd from Detroit for Marsh, Jones, and maybe a lower prospect? Also, what do you think of the 2021 F1 rule changes? The F1 rule changes, I'm going to just wait out and see. Thank you, Jeb, or John. I always love talking racing, as I know it. Would I make a trade for Matt Boyd using Marsh Jones and maybe a lower prospect? I don't know if that's – so here's the thing. Would I do it? No, I absolutely would not do it. I think Matt Boyd's incredibly overrated. I think he's a fine pitcher. He's a fine pitcher. Nothing wrong with him. But I don't think he's one of these Cy Young candidate kind of guys. And I'm not saying that's what you think, John. I'm just saying that's what some people say, and it's way beyond what I would say. I wouldn't do it, personally. But I also think that Detroit would start any conversation with Matt Boyd for Joe Adell. I think they'd say, well, you know, we want Joe Adell. And the Angels are going to be like, ha, funny. No. yes, that's how a real conversation goes on about trades. Brandon Marsh obviously would be the headline if there were to be a trade of that. But I think Detroit would ask for more. Personally, myself, I wouldn't give them more. So, this one from David Ginsburg at DrunkDave69 says, with our lineup not adding anyone, where do you think our bats rank per the league? Yes, adding Joe Adell in May. So I don't necessarily understand the second part of the question. But, yeah, if they don't add bats, I think they're okay. I think they understand that what they have in place is still pretty league average. So if you're talking rank offense per league, that's league average. I think that Mike Trout definitely helps that. But you are adding internally. And when you say adding Joe Adell in May, that's essentially it. You know, you're adding Joe Adell. You're adding these pieces. I think that the Angels will add some form of a bat, maybe more depth, maybe one of those 4A guys or even maybe a platoon guy somewhere. But you look around, you've got Albert Pujols. The bats regressed pretty heavily. but it's still usable. David Fletcher's been fine. Luis Renjifo's fine. Andrelton Simmons' bat has progressed. At third base, you've got Tommy Estella. I mean, gosh, if he's healthy and he does what he does all year, the offense explodes up. Justin Upton's going to improve. I will tell you that right now. Justin Upton is not going to be what he was in 2019. I expect him to be more of what he was in 2018, which is very good offensively. Mike Trout, best player in baseball, arguably the best hitter in baseball. And right field, you've got Brian Goodwin for some time, who's really shown the I love his bat control. I love his ability to barrel the ball. And then you got Joe Adell coming. So, yeah, you have help. I think this offense is fine. Maybe you add one little piece to platoon in the infield, I think primarily over at that first base position. And if you add a catcher, you know, Kevin Smith, I got to say, Kevin Smith is actually a pretty good offensive catcher. His defense leaves a little bit to be desired, but he's a pretty good offensive catcher. I mean, he's about a league average hitter. When to have a catcher doing that, that's pretty valuable. So this one here from Mondo Burger at Migueroa 03, and speaking of Brian Goodwin, says, if Goodwin performs well through spring training and the beginning of the season, do you see the Angels keeping Adell down even if he's killing it in AAA? So I'm going to start this off. If Joe Adell is doing well in AAA, don't look at the numbers. Just if the Angels are seeing what Joe Adell is doing and they're like, yeah, he's major league ready, they're not going to stop him from coming up. They're not going to sit there and say, yeah, you're not, we're going to keep you down just because Brian Goodwin's doing better. No, the Angels are going to find a way to use Joe Adell when they can. They're not going to force feed him. But if Brian Goodwin is performing well through spring training and starts the season off pretty well, then yeah, you have room to develop Joe Adell to become that guy that you want him to become, that super established major leaguer. I don't think they're going to call up Joe Adell and send him back down at any point. I think this is pretty much what we're going to see. But Brian Goodwin, I keep saying it. I love the bat control. I love the ability to get the barrel of the zone. He's a decent defender. He's got some pop in that bat. I think Brian Goodwin's the man. I love that guy. And just to see him be able to do that would be fantastic. And I think it also just gives Joe Adell just enough time to develop and really succeed to become the major leaguer everyone expects him to be. This one from Ron Swanson at Ron Swanson Trio says, Angels add Colin Wheeler. They still miss the playoffs, right? You know, you're going to need more pieces, yeah. If that's all you add, then I think there's a little bit, you know, there's some curiosity to see what's going to be coming from it. But that's a good starting point. On paper, you have Colin Wheeler with what's going to be currently in place and your improvements. I think they're on that fringe of the playoffs, pretty tight to it. I wouldn't say that they're going to miss the playoffs outright, but I'm not going to say that those two are just going to suddenly make the Angels a playoff team. So I understand your question here, Ron, but at the same time, on paper, I think that they're in that 90-win category if they add those two. And I think that that's kind of a valuable asset. So it's a great question to ponder, but I also think that you need to add Garrett Cole. Next one comes from Eddie at Fake Eddie Zwicky. I want to know where the real one is. Says, who of the guys from the Fabian Ardaia article would you think would be the best starting pitcher fit? Now, Fabian Ardaia, guest of the show, writer at The Athletic, wrote an article about some pitchers that could match up in trades for the Angels, and I was reading through it. He gave about five names. I won't give away everything from that article. Subscribe to The Athletic. You're welcome, Fabian, if you're tuning in. The guy that I – so this is more me personally. This has nothing to do with what the Angels' opinions are of this. Me personally – I want to see what John Gray can do away from Colorado. I think that he is a very special pitcher. And if you can get him out of Colorado, I really want to see what's capable there. I would love to see it. So that's going to be my guy from that article. Great article from Fabian Ardaia. Make sure you head over to The Athletic and subscribe. All kinds of content. And, you know, you subscribe to Locked On Angels. You subscribe to Locked On Podcast. I think we all recommend heading over to The Athletic. This one here from Tacos Are a Food Group at Tacoholic. I agree. Says, I believe along with pitching, of course, that we need one more bat. How do you see that being incorporated into our lineup? If we don't get a marquee ace, then I can see us going after Grandal. So as we're recording, within the last few minutes here, Yasmani Grandal actually did sign. So I'm going to take that part away from the question. Sorry, Tacoholic. And, yeah, of course you need pitching. I did mention earlier about what you need in a bat, but I also think that you have a little bit of space to kind of maneuver some things. You've got Matt Theis. You've got Jared Walsh. You've got Taylor Ward. let one of those guys kind of click offensively, see if they play out, and also see how Jose Rojas does. If Jose Rojas keeps, you know, stays in the organization, add him to that quartet or trio, make it a quartet, kind of test the waters and see if one of those guys can kind of be a lefty to platoon with Albert Pujols. I also wouldn't mind seeing I would actually really kind of love to see the Angels add a lefty platoon with Albert Pujols and maybe someone like an Eric Thames kind of guy. I think that's kind of an asset that you could possibly use that would be important. Got one coming in from a loyal listener, Raguju. And Ra, if I'm saying that wrong, you know I'm apologetic about it. Says, in past years, Artie Moreno instructed on offers where the free agent has to decide ASAP. This year, in dealing with Scott Boris and the Angels, have been more patient, you'd think, right? Having lunch with the biggest baseball agent, season ticket holder, Newport Beach's own, patience is key. So I'm going to start this off. Maybe this happened before I was covering the Angels, but I've never heard of Artie Moreno instructing free agents to decide ASAP. I don't know anything about that. And I had some people say that there was something about the mention of 24 to 48 hours for certain guys that were free agents. I'm very unfamiliar with this, and I started covering the Angels in 2012, so I'm a little curious as to where this kind of plays in, but I'm unfamiliar with that. As for the second part of the question, though, this year dealing with Scott Boris and having lunch with the biggest baseball agent, season ticket holder, and Newport Beach's own, Scott Boris, that's such a great one, Ra. That's such a great comment. Patience is key. Absolutely. A lot of guys, when it comes to Scott Boris clients, Scott's disliked for the wrong reasons. He is so good at his job. He gets his clients money. He goes out and does, like you said, he is baseball's best agent. And when baseball is the biggest money maker outside of maybe football and boxing, I mean, it's such a huge end, high end sport. Scott Boris is vital for this sport. He waits it out for his guys. He finds where the money is. And he's going to say, look, this is our best offer. We're waiting out other offers. So, yeah, patience is very vital. I mean, we look at, Bryce Harper, you know, the list goes on. When it comes to Gerrit Cole, because obviously when it comes to Scott Boris right now, the conversation about Scott Boris, Gerrit Cole. And when it comes to this, you're going to have about six bidders, and Scott Boris is going to be out there saying, well, you know, look, Artie, I can't tell you what the Yankees are offering, but if you were to give me this amount, I might be able to talk to Gerrit and get it to go this way. That's just how agents are. And I'm not saying that's how the conversation goes exactly, but you know what I mean. It's very important to kind of see how these things play out. You have to be patient. You have to wait these out. And Artie Moreno is fully aware. Artie Moreno is a pretty successful businessman, if you don't remember. He's a, you know, there's a B and, when it comes to the illion that goes along with it. He is a multi-billionaire. He's done well with business. I think he's going to be all right when it comes to this. So patience is a virtue, and great question there, Ra. And I've been digressing, but it's very true. So one final question here from Ryan Mancuso, at Ryan Mancuso, says, we want to think we can fix everything in one offseason, and maybe we can, but what is a realistic, since we're fans, we need to be reminded of reality, time frame for the Angels competing for the West title? So, Ryan, this is a great question, because as a fan base, and I understand this, I'm a fan of the LA Galaxy, I'm a fan of sports, I'm a fan of things. Baseball, I have a neutral stance set. You know, I'm not an Angels fan, I'm not a fan of a specific team, I'm a fan of baseball. And as a reporter, I think that's very important, and you have to do that. And that's what makes a reporter good, is you look at the national guys, they don't have these favorite teams. They're not one-minded towards one team. They understand the big picture. So when it comes to this, is can you fix everything in one offseason? No, and that's not just the Angels. That goes on and on. You look at the best teams in baseball, the Houston Astros, the Washington Nationals. These things don't just happen overnight or over a few months. Realistically, though, time frame for the Angels competing in the West. Look at the Houston Astros and their contracts. A lot of those contracts for Jose Altuve, George Springer, Carlos Correa, very important pieces to the puzzle for the Houston Astros, start to kind of fall apart after this next season. 2020 is a big year for the Houston Astros. Now, they continue to develop. They're a great organization when it comes to the baseball aspects of things, maybe not the moral aspects of things. But when it comes to this, the Angels have an opportunity to look at this and say, you know, hey, Jose Altuve might be gone. Carlos Correa might be gone. And the Astros start to kind of have to look for youth again. They might not a rebuild, but kind of going on the fly. When it comes to this, that's when you really want to pounce and be the team that's above the Astros at that point. Now you have to worry about the Mariners are in the midst of a rebuild. The Rangers are kind of in a weird spot where there's talent there. They're signing guys, but they still have some room to grow. The Athletics just don't have the money, but they continue growing. So that's kind of an important asset. So you kind of – if I'm the Angels and I'm looking towards the future, I'm a little bit more worried right now about Oakland than I am Houston. However, when it comes to the time frame to take back the West – I think that 2021 is a great opportunity for the Angels, but starts with this winter. It started with last winter. It started with getting Mike Trout on board, but it starts this winter. You start adding this winter. You aim for 2020, the playoffs in 2020, and you say, look, we're aiming for a 90 to 95 win team. That's what we want to be. We want to make the playoffs, and then once you're in the playoffs, you start, you know, we've seen teams. Look at the Washington Nationals. All they had to do was play through August, September, be really strong. They started terrible. They played strong all the way to the World Series as a wild card team. You just want to make the playoffs. That is your chance at winning a World Series. There are going to be better teams, but you can beat those better teams. I'll tell you what, right now, Houston Astros were a better team than the Washington Nationals. Washington Nationals won the World Series. So just make the playoffs and then look to 2021 after that. And say, look, the Astros are starting to kind of fall, and the little pieces are starting to fall off a little bit by little, and that's your window to really take an opportunity. And look, next winter, there's going to be other guys. You add on next winter. You add through international signings. You add through trades, and that's where you kind of make yourself you open up a window for yourself. I think the window starts in 2021. That's all for today's show. Thanks for being a part of today's show, not only listening, but also asking questions. You want to be a part of next week's show, make sure you're following us on Twitter, at LockedOnAngels. Follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward, and look for that tweet at about 9 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday night. I'll say something along the lines of, send me all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here. Best ones make the show on Tuesday. And that's how it's going to work. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes through the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you in the near future. For Locked On Angels, I'm Taylor Blake Ward saying stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you soon.